What's up, family? Welcome to Speak. We got a full house and a full show for y'all today. Shady McCoy is out, but James Jones, Super Bowl champ, still here. Joy Taylor's here. Dave Hellman, NFL analyst, insider all things, and NBA analyst, Flick Grit Debuker.
Everybody has the head nods down, though.
Family, it's about to be a great one. A lot of breaking NFL news, but let's start with the NBA. Lakers facing off against the Pelicans tomorrow, and it is going to be a great one. They literally just beat the Pelicans, but now we get a rematch. It's still in New Orleans. Depending on who you ask, they'll tell you how to pronounce it. But if they win, they get the Nuggets in the first round of the playoffs. Meanwhile, Steph Curry's Warriors, they are in the 10th spot, and they will play the Kings tomorrow night. The 9 and 10 seeds, you lose once, you're gone. The 7 and 8 seeds, you have the luxury of losing twice. So you're playing teams, the Pelicans, the Lakers, the Kings, the Warriors. Joy Taylor, which play-in team do you trust the most?
Well, it is a lot of trust, isn't it?
They're in the play-in.
They're in the play-in. They're there for a reason. But I do think I trust the Lakers the most. LeBron James is averaging a career high in three-point percentage this season. He's actually shooting a higher percentage than Steph Curry, which is crazy to think about when you think about what a shooter Steph Curry is. Anthony Davis has played the most games that he's ever played as a Laker this season. He's been healthy
in his career.
In his career.
Not just a Laker.
Yeah.
Well,
ever.
All good things.
Yeah.
I know he had a back issue the other night, but it seems like that's going to be okay. They have a great record, a better record than the Warriors against playoff teams this year. They're 19-16 against playoff teams this year. I think there's a lot that you can feel confident about, but obviously I also don't like picking against LeBron James. Mm. And look, there's a lot of talent in the play-in despite the fact that we are kind of, you know, poo-pooing it, but it's been serious the last few years. The play-in team does not necessarily mean you're not going to see them towards the end of the playoffs, the finals or the Western Conference. Yep. So I like the Lakers. I think there are some things that they've improved on from last year. Obviously, it's not the exact same situation as it was last year to just copy and paste and say they're automatically going to be in the Western Conference finals. I think the West is better this year, so I don't think it will be the same path, but there's a lot about the Lakers to be confident about and how they have finished the season as well.
Yeah, no, there's institutional knowledge there. If I look at those four teams, there's one team who has demonstrated that they can come out of the play-in and make a run. And I can't say that about those other teams. The Lakers demonstrated that last year. And I do think that there's something about understanding the psychology of being in the play-in and what it's like to play in this one game, this March Madness type game, and how we approach that. And if we happen to lose it, how we approach the next one. That if you haven't had success in it, it's like anything. Like you, when you've done it and you've done it successfully, you know what the mentality is to get it done. And the Lakers have that over all of those other teams. Aside from the fact that, you know, I could pick apart what the Lakers are and what they've done, but they got this little mojo here at the end of the season that reminds me of the mojo that they had in the bubble and then they had when they made their run last year. It feels familiar, and I can't look at any of those other teams and go, you know what? What they're going through or what they've done over the last couple of weeks feels familiar to me. So it's almost by process of elimination that the Lakers are my choice.
Slick, last time you was here, you was real confident in the Warriors.
I was indeed.
And the Warriors is rolling right now. What changed?
You know what? What really changed for me was the New Orleans loss. Mm. Because that was such an important, vital game for them to change where they are. They're at home. And you couldn't get it done against the Pelicans, who I'm not, you know, a big fan of in terms of what they have. Mm-hmm. And so when you show me, that was the type of game that the Warriors in the past, when they needed to get it, you know, the Kings last year, backs against the wall, we need to get this game. And they weren't necessarily playing at their best, and suddenly they get it for you. That one, what gave me pause. The reason I've been big on the Warriors is because I felt like we haven't seen their best, but they have potential because of these new pieces. If Andrew Wiggins gets it together, if Jonathan Kuminga takes a step up, if Pajemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis, you know, give them a little bit more. Like, if everything comes together, I can see on paper they're better than any of the other play-in teams. But it hasn't quite come together the way I thought it could.
Well, I think it is, Slick.
All right.
I think it's about to come together.
All right.
I'm going with the Warriors. It's just something about shooting the ball. Like, I mean, these dudes shoot the air out of the basketball. And a lot of these dudes, I'm looking at these teams up here, they shoot it all right, but they don't shoot it like the Warriors. It's two-point basketball versus three-point basketball. And the last time y'all's team seen the Warriors, Warriors beat them boys down. So for me, it's just when you can score and shoot the basketball the way the Warriors can and get hot, and you're talking about one game, and I know Tennessee got to win too, right? But you're talking about one game to get to that next game. I'm taking Steph Curry and these Warriors, man. And I know the last week has a couple people scared. You saying the last game against the Pelicans. But they've been on a roll, playing really good basketball over this last month, this stretch. So I'm taking the Warriors getting out of this play-in.
Warriors, Kings, Pelicans, Lakers. Team I trust the most, the eighth seed. I don't care who it is. I don't know, it can be the Lakers. It can be the Warriors. It can be the Kings. I don't care who it is. But the seventh seed is a dead team walking. Whoever has to play the Nuggets is a dead team walking. So I don't trust them at all. They have no life. They are just living to die. They are just waiting for, they're in hospice. It's over for them. So the seventh seed, I don't trust. I don't even care if it's the Lakers. And I love the Lakers of the play-in teams. I love them most. So if I were to answer the question as I am supposed to answer the question, it would be the Lakers. I agree with Joy. I agree with James Jones. The Lakers, I trust
more. No, you agree with
Slick. Joy and I, you're Slick.
Yeah.
The Lakers are more trustworthy than the Warriors, than the Kings, and than the Pelicans. But whoever's the A seed, that's the team that has life. That's the team that has hope. That's the team that has a chance.
Yeah, so, thank you, Joy. Go ahead.
He done turned it, didn't he?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, he did. He skipped a step.
Conversation we practiced.
Yes, sir.
That was
my answer.
I think there are
hijacked the show.
That was my answer.
No, I'm on no now. I'm about to be on that yes, no stuff. Yep, nope.
That was, I trust the A seed.
What's my answer? No.
I trust the eighth seed. Whoever it is.
I think there are certain matchups that, like the Lakers, I would give the Lakers a better chance against OKC than I would against the Nuggets. But I don't feel that way about every team.
I agree with that.
To play against OKC.
I'm not just
dismissing OKC. And even still, even if the Lakers didn't end up matching up with OKC, it's not a guarantee that they're going to beat them in a four-game series. They have been a really, really good team. Yep. They are young. The place where I start to have questions about young teams is actually further along in the playoff race. Like when they start to get into these matchups against more experienced teams, when they're in these incredibly tense moments, I wouldn't necessarily qualify the first round of the playoffs as a place where for a young team I would have so many questions about. I just think it's like a good matchup for the Lakers.
But especially against a play-in team.
Correct.
Right.
The disparity.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know that I feel that strongly.
I guess my thought process is, I think we all up here believe the Nuggets are the best team in the West. Any objections?
I agree.
We all up here believe that the Nuggets are maybe a best team in basketball.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Right. So I'm simply saying that whoever doesn't have to play who we all agree is the best team in the West and who we all agree is the best team in basketball, that's the team I have the most belief in. Whoever can avoid them. I agree with Joy. I do not think that the Warriors match up as well against OKC as the Lakers do. Yeah. I don't think that the Kings do. I just know nobody matches up against these Nuggets.
So you're saying you hope the Lakers lose? So they ain't even in that spot?
Whatever team you are a fan of, hope you are the eighth seed. I don't care how you, by any means necessary. If you're the Warriors, obviously you can't be the seven. All you can be is the eight. If you're the Kings, all you can be is eight. If you're the Pelicans, you can be the seven or the eight. Whatever team you're a fan of, I don't care who it is, the eighth seed, to me, has the best chance at life.
So you're saying right now the Pelicans and the Lakers are sitting at the worst spots because whoever wins that game gets the Nuggets.
Gets the Nuggets. And I just don't think I don't have enough data, and I don't think you all could show me enough data that would suggest beating the Nuggets is something realistic. I mean, our next conversation is literally, should the Lakers be nervous about facing the Nuggets? So I don't think there's any data that anyone could suggest that says, hey, we got a great shot at beating the Nuggets. So for that reason, whoever ends up at eight, I don't care who it is, no dog in the race. Whoever ends up at eight, to me, is just best off.
I guess what I struggle with is the finality of it. Like, I don't know that the Nuggets are so much better. Then I'm waiting to find out, how much can the Oklahoma City Thunder replicate what they did during the regular season in the postseason because they're so young? Minnesota Timberwolves, sort of the same question because we've never seen it. We've seen the Denver Nuggets go all the way and win it all. Do I think that they are overwhelmingly the most dominant team in basketball. No, I don't feel that way. I think that they're the best team in basketball and that it would be more difficult to beat them than it would be any of the other teams in the West. But it's not such a separation that I'm saying if you wind up in the seventh seed, you're done. And if you're in the eighth seed, you have a ticket to the second round.
Not a ticket. Definitely not a ticket. Please do not make that mistake and hear me say you have a ticket. But I guess we've all said it. I think you said it, Joy. I think you said it earlier. I'm reminded of young teams in the playoffs. I just don't fully believe in them. Remember, the Grizzlies were the 2 seed last year, if I'm not mistaken. Lakers played them early on. Grizzlies, young team in the playoffs, top 2 seed. But if you go and beat somebody, beat the young team in the playoffs. The Sacramento Kings, what were they? Maybe a 3 seed two years ago? If you go and beat somebody, beat a young team. The Kings were great, but they were young. Yep. So what I'm really suggesting is just those nuggets, I don't want nothing to do. Yeah. I just watched them last year, and it was just, bro, remember, LeBron scored 30 and a half, and they lost. AD had 40 and 10. And they lost. It didn't matter. You could play your best. You're still going to lose, which, James, I guess, leads us to that question.
Yeah, but first off, for all that to be said, the Lakers put themselves in this position. Mm-hmm. They can't lose because you don't want to go and have to play another game against the Kings or the Warriors trying to even play? OKC? Mm-hmm. Trying to get to play the OKC. So they put themselves in this position. So, hey, you did this to yourself.
Get yourself out of it.
What comes with it?
Should the Lakers be nervous, James, about facing the Nuggets?
Yeah. Come on, man. We talking about the Denver Nuggets. We talking about the defending champs. We talking about a team that you ain't beaten what? Eight?
Eight straight times.
And you talking about 30 in one half, 40 in 10. Jesus. Yes, they absolutely should be nervous. And to be honest with you, we want to be nice. They should be scared. They should be scared. I know nervous and scared is kind of the same thing. Yeah. When you're sitting in your locker or whatever it is, hey, you looking like that? I'm nervous. Yeah, that's because you're a little scared too. We're about to go down. So they should absolutely be scared. I mean, the Denver Nuggets is a complete basketball team. They show it night in and night out. This is a team that really nobody wants to draw and play. Not saying they cannot be beat, but we all just said up here and agreed up here that they're the best team in basketball. Not too many teams want to play the best team in basketball, especially in the first round.
The Lakers will tell you, Lakers fans will tell you that, hey, you know, yeah, we got swept, but they were all close. They were all right there, right?
Yeah.
The problem that the Denver Nuggets present to the Lakers, if we agree that Anthony Davis and LeBron James are the two most important players for the Lakers.
Of course.
Anthony Davis is at a disadvantage against Nikola Jokic. Mm-hmm. That is a riddle that he has not figured out, and you just look at the matchup and you go, Jokic could kind of get wherever he wants to, and AD is the best defender on the Lakers. So when their best player is housing your best defender, that's a little bit of debilitating, right? And then the second part is what has made LeBron James such a difficult matchup is that he's either got a physical size advantage or he's got an athletic advantage if you give him size.
But not against them.
Against Aaron Gordon.
PJ and Gordon.
So the two pieces that are most important to the Lakers, the Nuggets go, oh, we're good. Mm. We're good. And so it's, I don't know, it's nervous, scared. It's like, where's the solution for us in beating this team? That's what the Lakers face with the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, it's a matchup issue.
Yeah.
And then when you neutralize those two, you got to have the rest of the roster step up, which Denver certainly did, outside of having to deal with their two best players.
And then we didn't even talk about Jamal Murray.
Right.
Correct.
We did not mention him, who they're not winning without, by the way.
Quarterback.
So it's a matchup issue for the Lakers. But to James' point, you put yourself in this position. Mm-hmm. What you don't want to do is risk losing and then not making the playoffs at all because these are March Madness style games. Once you get to the second game. So I can't look at it and say there's no shot. Every year is a bit different. This is a new roster. We never know what's going to happen in the postseason. Obviously, knock on wood, everybody's healthy and everything goes smoothly. We know historically that is not going to be the case. So there are a million things that can happen throughout the course of a 7-game series. But you still got to win four of them to move on, which is just feels very daunting. But that's what the Lakers are at this point. Like the, all of the teams that are in the play-in are in a play-in for a reason. What makes the Lakers interesting is we saw them go from the play-in to the Western Conference Finals last year. We've seen the Heat go from the play-in to the NBA Finals. So it's it doesn't mean as much as we think it does historically, looking at how teams have gone from the play-in throughout the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes you dream a little bit. Yeah. Unless you got Denver in the first round.
here's the hard part for me, though, because, Joy, you make a great point. There are a million things that can happen. I disagree. I think there's one thing that can happen, injury. Because of those million things that can happen, obviously it's a figure of speech, we saw nearly a million of them happen last year in their series.
Yeah.
Y'all must remember, we saw a variety of things occur. The Nuggets took a 23-point lead. The Lakers closed, but they couldn't overcome it. LeBron, like I said, he scored 30 and a half. Didn't help. AD had 40 and 10. I think it was game one. Didn't matter. Jamal Murray was hot again. Jamal Murray was cold. Literally every single thing that could have happened. Lakers leading by 15, still lost. Nuggets leading by 15, still lost. Jamal doesn't score well, they win. Jamal scored. Every variation we saw occurred. To me, the only way the Lakers beat the Nuggets is if somebody, bodies, probably plural, on the Nuggets get injured. That's not something as a former athlete nor analyst that I try to suggest will happen. So I don't think there's a way.
Really, really quick, because we got to get a Lakers some hope, huh? Because they're going to win this thing and play Denver.
Sure.
Are they better than last year, Slick? I'm asking you, are the Lakers better than they were last year as a team?
I don't believe that they are.
Mm.
You don't have Jared Vanderbilt there defensively. I think they're worse on the perimeter than they were last year. And the D'Angelo Russell element is a bit of a canard.
Yep.
Because he's been great in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And he
said,
well, you got to play defense. And you also, he said, you know what? I'm not thinking. I'm just playing. Mm. You got to think. You got to be calculated in the postseason. You just can't let it fly. You just can't let it flow. And that's why we haven't seen him always perform well in the postseason. I will say that the caveat of an injury, and with Jamal Murray having had some issues, like, if you take Jamal Murray out of the equation, now it's a lot closer.
Mm-hmm, sure.
A lot closer.
But think about what we're saying. Think about what we're saying.
No, you're
if
right.
If you take
their second best player away, assuming that there are no injuries, that, and assuming that there are no injuries, which obviously no one is predicting or hoping for in any way or speaking up, what are the options? What are the solutions?
No.
What are their chances?
Correct.
Because assuming everyone's going to be there, which is the only way that we do things.
Yep.
It doesn't seem like there's much hope because the matchup just doesn't work well.
And it's not our opinion, though. Like, what we're saying is not opinion. It's objective fact.
Right.
If you lose eight times in a row, one, there's a psychological component we can all speak to. We've all been athletes at some level on this desk. If somebody beats me eight times in a row, even you at home, if you lose rock, paper, scissors eight times in a row to your child or to your brother and sister, you think you finna catch an L. Yeah. Lie to yourself all you want. Oh, no, this... No, they just got your number.
Yeah. But we've all been a part of upsets, too. We've all been up here a part of upsets. So what has to happen? Like, I know we talked to Lakers a lot. Austin Reeves got to show up. D'Lo got to show up. Yeah. Other people. So what has to happen? Like, it's going to happen.
Now, let me
so
take
what
this
has
first.
To happen
let me, cause
for them to
I get,
in, be
I get into this argument all of the time with the person who usually sits to my right, LeSean McCoy. What makes an upset, right? We talk about this all the time. It's not luck. And no, there's not luck. Like any given Sunday, any given Saturday, any given Friday, you have to have the ability to consecutively be able to beat that individual. I do not believe that the Lakers have the ability nor the roster to beat the Nuggets four times straight. Slick talked about it, all accentuated. MPJ and Gordon are both 6'10". Not only are they big and can shoot the tray ball, MPJ better than Gordon, they also can jump and run. Then you got Jokic. Last year, the Lakers thought they had a solution. Play Achimura on him and then let AD just roam like a free safety in basketball. It didn't work. Then the Nuggets have bench. Better bench than the Lakers have bench. So there is no sort. Yes, in one game, in theory, it could happen if the Lakers shot like the Warriors shot when the Warriors played the Lakers 7 days ago. In one game, sure, it could happen. But in a seven-game series, which is the beauty of basketball, there is no reasonable route to believe that the Lakers can beat them.
Yeah, this is the heart of it for me. No, James, I'll put it to you. Like, what's the Lakers' advantage? What's the thing that they, either the matchup or the thing that they do?
I mean, they got arguably the greatest player ever. That's what people are arguing.
Like, I truly believe the only reason.
What are you doing with they?
No, but what I'm saying.
They.
What I'm saying is.
We're not inviting anybody into this conversation.
I truly feel like the only reason we even given the Lakers a chance out of the play-in is because we believe in LeBron.
And AD.
You know what I'm saying? So if we believe that LeBron and AD had the best chance to coming out of the play-in, getting to the Western Conference, they did that last year. So are we? If we saying that can happen, I'm thinking, like, the only reason we're giving them a chance is because they have Bron. And I don't know what can happen because Bron is one of the greatest.
I will give you that. Is he still... This is going to take us in a hole.
Hold the thought.
Still Rick. Playing at a high level. We can't even say that.
Let me get to break. We just got warmed up around these parts. But speaking of just getting warmed up, Aaron Rodgers, he showed up for the Jets' first day of offseason activities. It is go time for the Jets. So what are the expectations for the 40-year-old Rodgers? One person at this desk thinks a Super Bowl is on the... I don't know the word after that.
I hear you, Acho.
On the horizon. That's next. Remember, check us out every day. Fox Sports Channel, SiriusXM.
You guys know what I was going to say.
Huge news. If you are an NFL fan, lock in for this one. Aaron Rodgers is finally back to the Jets practice facility because offseason workouts, there we go. And if you know, this is when the season really starts, not when y'all see the ball kick off. Four-time MVP, now set to enter his second year in the Big Apple. He is 40 years old, James Jones. I don't know if it matters, but you tell me. You played with him. You won a Super Bowl with him.
Yes, sir.
What are realistic expectations for the 40-year-old Rodgers?
You want to go first, Acho?
Look, I'm with you. I don't know what you're going to say, but that is interesting because oftentimes I don't answer in our meetings.
This is a very specific question, James.
Yes, it is.
Expectations for me, Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Now, expectation. Mm-hmm. That word means a lot. Yeah, it means a lot. My expectations when you have Aaron Rodgers and a very competent roster is a Super Bowl. Mm. Now, if you were to say, Acho, you know, what do you think is going to happen? Yeah. What are you going to bet is going to happen? Hey, Acho, based upon history of the Jets franchise, what would you wager? What that's different. But what do you expect? Mm. Like hope? Mm. Like Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. You bring in Aaron Rodgers, who to me is one of the most talented quarterbacks the game of football has ever seen.
Yes.
Plus, you have a roster now is not just talented, because talented rosters are cool, but as somebody who had to play special teams, as somebody who always had to assess the entirety of the roster, because I was on the entirety of the roster actually has like some depth to it. Mm-hmm. Your tackles, you're good. Mm-hmm. Running game is cool. Wide receiver room is good. Now you got pass rushers. Plus, you already had DBs. You got a linebacker core. You got defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. The roster's great, and you got Rodgers?
Yeah.
To me, expectations have to be Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I agree. We talking about everybody being healthy. I know you're talking 40. Let's just say Aaron Rodgers coming off the Achilles injury is healthy. Your division has gotten weaker, right? That's number one, right? It has to be Super Bowl. You have a Super Bowl caliber roster. If you stay healthy and Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of your football team, you have a chance to win a Super Bowl. And I know Shady ain't here, but it's time, dog.
It is.
It's time. Because I sit up here and I fight for Aaron. I go to bat for 12, 8, whatever you want to call him. Any day, every day, it's time to get to a Super Bowl. I don't care if you win it, lose it, but you got to get to a Super Bowl. This team is way better than the team you came into last year. And some people had Super Bowl hopes for y'all last year, and you got hurt four plays in. This team is even better now. If Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, expectations is Super Bowl. They are one of the few teams walking in right now. You see everybody smiling, and they doing all these pictures, the Giants and all these people. The Jets are one of the few teams this season that has a roster that's going into these offseason workouts that has a chance to get to the Super Bowl. Got to be the expectations. Hopefully it was on the wall when they walked into the door, a Super Bowl trophy or whatever it is on the wall. This is what we're chasing because we have that caliber roster of Aaron Rodgers as hell.
Well, since Shady isn't here, I guess I'm the one who's going to have to keep it real.
I just kept it real.
And I guess I'm the only one who's going to actually answer the question because it doesn't say hopes or dreams or wishes.
Expectations?
It says, no. Words matter. It says, I can read, I think it says realistic.
Yep, it's right there.
That's what it says.
Realistic expectations.
Super Bowl.
Realistic expectations. Oh. We're getting very crazy with the Super Bowl talk. It would be nice for them to make the playoffs. It would really truly be nice for the Jets to make the playoffs. It would be a nice thing.
If they don't get in the playoffs.
It would be a massive improvement for the Jets to make the playoffs. It would be an incredible improvement for them to win a playoff game. One game. It would be a massive improvement. It would be a huge accomplishment for the Jets to do that. I'm not making a mockery of the Jets. They do plenty of that on their own. I don't believe anything the Jets tell me. Pitch someone else. I want to see it. I do not walk by faith when it comes to the New York Jets anymore. I spent 6 months of my life last year talking about the Jets potentially going to the Super Bowl, and four plays in, over. And then I had to listen to Zach Wilson talk again. I'll never forgive y'all for that.
Listen,
I am a grudge holder. People I keep forget. Them like plants. I water them, make sure they don't die before their time. No way am I forgiving you for that. You pitched me on this Aaron Rodgers nonsense for 6 months. Achilles gone, and now I've got to listen to Zach Wilson talk again? Go do it, please. On paper, it's gorgeous. Oh, look at that.
Yes, it is. Yes, it
masterpiece.
Is. Beautiful.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You got an energetic coach that's like, you know,
should,
doing things.
Should be.
You know, and you've got Aaron Rodgers and all his, right, you know, he's just showing up. He's got his glasses on. He's ready to go. He looks, you know, just like he ate fruit today.
Let's go, Tom.
I want to see it. I just don't believe it. I don't care what is being pitched to me when it comes to them. And I will not, because we have a rule around here. Dave, we have rules.
Uh-oh.
You know this. We are not comparing Tom Brady to anyone else.
No, we can't.
So I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear about 40-year-old quarterbacks. Okay, no, just take him out.
No,
so when
that.
We start
nobody
looking at the other 40-year-old quarterbacks, it's not. You know, if we like, I got the numbers here, and I very specifically wrote.
It ain't
like,
too many of them, too.
Okay, not a lot. And then when you take Tom Brady out, the results are not as shiny as they look when you include him in those statistics. Sometimes people can curve statistics, so let's take Tom Brady out of it. I just think realistic expectations for Aaron Rodgers is that they are competing at the end of the year. First of all, that he stays healthy through an entire season.
Hope for that, please.
That he throws for a game, you know, he has a game where he throws for more than 300 yards.
That will happen.
Which that's been a couple years since we've seen that. And that they are sniffing around the playoffs. I'm not disregarding all the other teams in the AFC, teams that have gotten better. Okay, there's. I understand the Bills took a step back without Stephon Diggs. There's some adjustments to be made. This is the New York Jets we're talking about.
So I know you say on paper it looks beautiful. Right?
I'm being kind. I'm being. It's a Monday.
Nice.
I don't want to start the. I don't want to start the week off negative.
It's nice.
It's a nice looking piece of paper.
Everybody healthy, because that's what we're going off. We've been knocking on wood.
Sure. Yeah. Everyone's healthy.
Nobody hurt.
We're playing the fantasy of everyone healthy.
Yeah. You will be surprised if this team made the playoffs.
Okay.
Like, no, not surprised. Like, you think that would be an accomplishment? Like a. Accomplishment of a season if this team made the playoffs?
Correct, because we are making a very wild assumption that the last Aaron Rodgers that we watched healthy for an entire season playing at that level, because what I'm not going to do is just forget that and an Achilles injury and 40 years old and skip back to the MVP year at a team and a place where he played his entire career and just whoop, go to the New York Jets and that we're going to duplicate that performance. So I'm going to go off the last performance of him being healthy for an entire season where he did not have one game where he threw for over 300 yards and they missed the playoffs because they couldn't beat the up and coming Lions who he has owned for most of his career. I can't do that. So I'm not going to go all the way back to that. I hear that this is a man that's walking in with a long resume, but what's happened lately, and I'm actually giving you the last season, although I'm really not, because I'm considering the fact that he's 40 years old coming off of an Achilles injury.
I hear you. This is a show where, I mean, we like to do bets here. The confidence coming from James
always
is really like, are we Jets to the Super Bowl? Like, are we putting something
That's
on it?
That's the expectations.
That's the expectation? Yes. So I think I fall somewhere in between, and I'm honestly surprised. I'm surprised at Super Bowl, but I'm also a little bit surprised that Joy, I'm not going to say you're letting him off the hook, but we can hold the Jets to a higher standard than that.
Like, you can.
I think we all should, and here's my thing. I like to follow what teams tell me. Follow what teams are doing. Follow what teams think of themselves. If the Jets were doing this whole, oh, shucks, it would be nice to break the longest playoff drought in the NFL. Like, we would just be happy to do that. If that was the Jets, then I would be like, okay, cool. Get rid of that word realistic when you talk about the Jets, because I spent, and y'all did too, the entire fall listening to Aaron Rodgers talk about coming back that season. He said, set a goal and tell me what I can't do and I'll shatter those expectations.
And what'd he do? Not play one more second of the NFL season, wasting everybody's time.
Still the standard he wants to be held to.
I'm just saying, there wasn't no need to come back. They was getting beat
up. No, what he didn't want to do is reveal the plug, because if he'd have came back, it would have been a medical marvel.
Story.
Yes.
That's the standard he wants to be held to, and that's the standard the Jets want to be held to when you consider what they've done this year. They go out, they spend big money to get two veteran tackles. They go out, they pay a prove-it deal to a proven badass receiver like Mike Williams. They still have a top 10 pick in the draft. They traded for Hassan Reddick to replace Bryce Huff. Woo. These are the moves of a team that's going for it. What the Jets have done, forget what any of us say, what the Jets have done says, we got Aaron Rodgers, we think we got a shot. They even actually did something about backup quarterback. We're not going to have to hear from Zach Wilson this year, because if something does happen to A-Rod, it'll be Tyrod Taylor, mm-hmm. who can step in and do the job well. At the very least, if he's got to play four games, he can win you two or three.
No doubt.
Even if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, the Jets have prepared themselves to have a shot. So I say, hold them to that standard. Super Bowl is rich when you consider that the Chiefs own the AFC. I'm not going to steal our friend Nick Wright's bit, but it's like the Arrowhead Invitational. I can't go all the way to Super Bowl. But when you consider what the Bills have lost and the fact that, you know, their financial window is difficult, the Jets, at the very least, should be in contention to win their division. And if you win your division, you got a shot to make a run. It's okay to hold them to that standard. I don't think that's unrealistic.
Where I'm, I think the answer to this question all depends on how do you feel about Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Who are the names on that list, the 40-year-old quarterbacks?
Warren Moon, Vinny Testaverde, Brett Favre, Drew Brees, Matt Hasselbeck, Doug Flutie. Those are the seven quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era at the age of 40 who have more than five games at over the age of 40.
So here's what I will say. Well, hold on, because I agree.
You Brett Favre is also 13 and 12.
You can't compare anybody to Tom Brady.
No, he's gone.
But I also wouldn't compare a lot of them names to Aaron Rodgers.
Mm. Come on now.
I would not do that. Aaron Rodgers is different. I'm not his teammate. I just played against him.
Dang.
So while Tom Brady lives on his own, I think Rodgers got to be somewhere in between the Vinny Testaverde and the Tom Brady of it all. He got to be somewhere
in between. Who's it unfair to compare him to?
Matt Hasselbeck.
How about
Warren Moon can't. Brett, you could put in that conversation.
James says no.
He played with him.
How about Drew Brees?
No.
I'm not putting Drew Brees. Brees can't touch.
40-year-old Drew Brees was not.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is these individuals can't touch Rodgers talent-wise.
No.
Rodgers got four MVPs. He went back-to-back, then back-to-back. Mm. You feel me? So, like, I'm not going to compare him to Brady, but what I have to say is Rodgers is a freakazoid. So if you take a freakazoid quarterback, and we all believe that quarterbacks matter, the Jets were 7-10 without Rodgers the last 2 years. The question then becomes, how many wins do we think Rodgers is worth? I believe a quarterback of Aaron Rodgers' caliber should be worth about four of them things.
And this is why we talk about the postseason success, because Rodgers is great in the regular season. Mm-hmm. He is a freak in the regular season.
No doubt.
MVP. Stats.
Yeah.
No interceptions. Yeah. But what happens when we get to the postseason? Because what we're talking about is expectations for the Jets in the postseason. We're not talking about Aaron Rodgers putting up a bunch of statistics, mm-hmm. which, by the way, he hasn't done recently.
Well, no, words matter. We're talking about realistic expectations for Rodgers.
You guys are the ones talking about the Super Bowl.
I'm saying first we got to get to the postseason, which I think he will do. So you're saying he'll get there.
Rodgers, for his entire career, outside of James, we all agree, has underachieved in the postseason based off of the success that he had as an individual during the regular season.
Undoubtedly.
So what we're talking about with the Jets for expectations is not think that Aaron Rodgers is going to put up a bunch of statistics.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about how far is Aaron Rodgers going to take them during the regular season. So based off of comparing him to a Drew Brees, who has the same amount of Super Bowls, or Brett Favre, what are we talking about? Are we talking about Aaron Rodgers looking good?
No.
Are we talking about the Jets winning games in the postseason? Because there's nothing about Aaron Rodgers' career as of recent, and like the last 2 years that would suggest that he is going to just take them to the promised land.
If the Jets, we, though, and that,
say,
I love Joy.
Just say just 1 year. He was four plays. Can we just say the last year?
No.
Because we forget this two
James.
MVP seasons.
We're not forgetting that. That's a long time ago.
I mean, tearing your Achilles, that matters.
Apparently, it doesn't. We're not even considering
four
that.
Plays as a season. Like, when you say 2 years ago and the man played a season in four plays,
so then
it's
let's,
hard to
let's
say
that.
Seasons.
Okay, but the Achilles counts as a major
injury.
We would assume that this would be a problem for any player. Right?
I'm with you on that. I just believe that Aaron Rodgers is incredible. The nuance is, if I were going to argue on the Aaron Rodgers Jets to the Super Bowl campaign, I would suggest the nuance of when the Packers lost those playoff games, more often than just about every time, their defense, atrocious.
Yeah.
Atrocious. I mean, I think the Falcons beat the Packers in, what was it, maybe 44 to...
It was bad.
It was terrible.
It was a couple games, 12 could have played better.
No doubt. I said more often than not.
No doubt.
But, the defense has been atrocious. If we are all very mindful, the reason the teams in the AFC advanced as far as they advanced this last playoff year was primarily defense.
Yeah.
Houston Texans, they lost to the Ravens, and the Ravens didn't even have to score on offense. Ravens scored on a punt return. Yep. And the Texans only put up, I think, 10 that game. Yep. So the Ravens advanced to the conference championship game, family, because of defense.
Anything and everything can happen. We know it takes a lot to make a run.
Of course.
Health-wise, got to play better that Sunday or Saturday. It takes a lot to make a run. But at the end of the day, when you have a quarterback at the skill of Aaron Rodgers, you have a chance to get to the Super Bowl. And not only that, just roster-wise, this defense is going ball. I don't care who's at the quarterback spot.
Right, yeah.
This defense is going to play at a high level because they showed us that the last 3-4 years that this is what we do. So they are going to ball. Adding a caliber quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, I don't care about the age number. I just care about him being healthy. If he's healthy, nothing is wrong with Aaron Rodgers' arm. And that is why I'm so high on the Jets if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, because I've played with this man for 8 years. I know how special
he is.
And if he is healthy defense, there's no reason why anybody should be surprised if they are in this game. And I mean Super Bowl.
Let me ask you this.
We shouldn't be surprised that they're in the Super Bowl.
No, not with what he got.
For the first
not
time
with that
since
roster.
1968, I think it would qualify as a surprise, even with Aaron Rodgers.
But is it because of Aaron Rodgers is.
Jets ain't never had an Aaron Rodgers at that quarterback.
Rodgers is good.
I think Aaron Rodgers is one of the all-time great quarterbacks. I also am aware that he tore his Achilles last year, and
that
he
happened.
Is 40 years of age.
Yeah.
Looking off of the data that separates Tom Brady, because we're all reasonable people, it's not great for 40-year-olds. On top of the fact that this is an organization that does not have a history of winning lately, okay, we are being very aspirational with our expectations here. Can we at least admit that? I'll give you this. I feel better about them making the Super Bowl than I did last year with Zach Wilson. So there you go. There's an improvement.
Baby steps.
To say that the expectations should be Super Bowl to me is not only completely outrageous, but it is also so dismissive of all of the rest of the conference. You are assuming that they are going to win their division. Right?
Yes.
That's the expectation.
Can I ask y'all a question really quick? I mean, because I like doing the what ifs. You guys don't. Let's take Aaron Rodgers off the Jets and let's leave Patrick Mahomes where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
What quarterback in the National Football League do you think could take this team to the Super Bowl?
I think there's a few quarterbacks that can.
So if you have good quarterback play, you think this team could go to...
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. If Buddy is healthy and you have great quarterback play,
I don't think that...
And you shouldn't be surprised.
I don't think that good quarterback play is going to get the Jets to the Super Bowl. I do not think that. I do not think good quarterback play will do that. I don't think that good play with the rest of this team's play is an automatic bid to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs exist. The Ravens exist. The Houston Texans exist.
Joe Burrow still exists. Run that division.
Josh Allen has not lost the division in the last 4 years. I understand on paper they look worse, but Josh Allen is still good. And respectfully, we obviously had this argument already. I think Josh Allen is better right now at this point in his career playing better football than Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, we can debate that another time. At the very least, they're splitting hairs, which I don't agree with, but I will give it so that we can move forward with this conversation. Who else am I forgetting in the AFC?
You said Houston, right?
Say the Dolphins.
Houston. Dolphins. Okay, let's talk about the Dolphins, who are in the division.
I mean, the whole AFC North is worth talking about.
The Steelers.
About. Yeah. The Browns. Did you bring up
the Browns?
I mean,
I guess, like this season.
I'm saying right. if that to say that they're just going to that it is an. It won't be a surprise if they get to the Super Bowl, considering the resumes and the improvements that other teams in the AFC have made, forgetting the fact that Kansas City still exists, which you would have to go through to get there.
I don't think it's a team, roster-wise, that really is messing with the Jets.
In the AFC?
In the AFC. Roster-wise. Like, that's all I'm saying. And if he is healthy... They have one of the better rosters in the National Football League.
Where are you ranking Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback in the AFC right now?
I just know Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great, and he's going to play at a high level.
I didn't say let's rank his resume. I didn't say let's rank his resume.
Fifth or sixth?
Two.
Let's go off of what he was the last time we saw him, and then maybe factor in that he's 40 and coming off of an Achilles injury.
But I guess for me, it comes down to, though, Joy, it still comes down to, like, do you believe Aaron Rodgers is a superhuman or not? I believe he is.
I believe I've seen one superhuman, and that's Tom Brady. That's why I bring up these other people.
So
considering the fact that the one superhuman is not coming back to play for the New York Jets, there are still questions that I have about this team. Do you think Robert Saleh is a Super Bowl level coach?
That's where we differ. I think it really all boils down to that. James, you and I think crazy high of Rodgers. But you play with Rodgers.
Yes.
I got embarrassed by Rodgers.
Yeah.
So we both have motivation to believe that Aaron Rodgers is on another stratosphere.
Aaron Rodgers is on another stratosphere with a quarterback arm and a quarterback mind. So we not really running nowhere. If you can throw this ball, Tom Brady ain't run nowhere, and we're going to keep him out of it. But if you can throw this ball, and if 12 is healthy with what they have, it is realistic.
You added a Hall of Fame left tackle, Dave.
That you know well.
You added a solid right tackle.
A good right tackle, too, yeah.
You got a great running back.
And they still have a top 10 pick to use
draft. For me, it's like you got a top 5 wide receiver in the AFC. You got a top 5 running back in the AFC. You got a top 5 left tackle in the AFC. You got a really good right tackle. You got a top 5 D tackle. You got a top 5 linebacker. You got a top 5 cornerback. I'm just sitting here like,
can I reframe this? I'm just curious because this turned into a different conversation in my opinion. I'm curious. Okay, for the two guys. See, I thought I was holding the Jets to a high standard, and y'all come out here and you're like, Rodgers, they're already in the Super Bowl.
Expectations.
What would the Jets have to do for you to consider them a disappointment? Like, is the season a disappointment if
missed
they don't get to the
playoffs.
Super Bowl?
No, that's the playoffs.
So like, what I'm trying to say is, like, let's say the Jets win 11 games, 3 seed in the AFC.
Disappointment.
Win a playoff game and then lose to the Chiefs? That's a disappointment?
Disappointment.
So
once again, I'm going off of how great I believe Aaron is. If Aaron doesn't get this team to the Super Bowl, it's a disappointment. And Aaron is my dog, my brother from another mother. If he don't get this Jets team, if he is healthy, to the Super Bowl, it's a disappointment.
So were you disappointed every year in Green Bay?
Every year.
Okay. I feel it.
He's speaking for a ton of Packer fans. I won't argue with him. In Green Bay,
it was fair to be disappointed.
After 2010, after we won the Super Bowl,
it was disappointing every year. He was 7-9 in the playoffs.
We should have been back to plenty more.
Since the Super Bowl. He's 7-9 in the playoffs.
I'm mad y'all even asked that question.
I mean, and in Green Bay, you were right to be disappointed.
Yes.
But this is not Green Bay. This is the New York football Jets, okay?
Yes.
The Jets. They have the longest playoff streak in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
2010.
Okay. Right? So making the playoffs would be a record-breaking thing to do, just making the playoffs.
For Jets.
The team he plays for.
It's the ultimate team sport.
And the last time that he was healthy for a season, guess what team missed the playoffs?
Green Bay Packers.
His team! So the idea that we are talking about the Aaron Rodgers who won an MVP, if he comes out and does it, incredible feats. But I am basing my opinion off of the fact that the last time I saw him healthy for an entire season, he did not throw, which he does. He doesn't run. He throws. Yes, did he not does. Throw for more than 300 yards in one single game that season. Missed the playoffs. And then his next time we saw him on the field, he played for 4 plays, popped his Achilles, and then that time, he grew to the age of 40.
Yeah.
All of this happened.
And 2 years before that, he won MVP.
I'm flies.
Listen, life comes at you fast.
Life
comes at you fast.
The truth is in the middle of all
it
of this.
It is. The truth is somewhere in the middle of all of this. When we return, was Joe Burrow telling the truth? Because he looked Travis Kelce in his eyes, and he said that the Bengals are built to beat the Chiefs. Joe Burrow joined the Kelce's podcast and said, look, we built to beat him. But do we agree? That's next on Speak. Joe Burrow, he's back after hurting his wrist last season. And keep in mind, this dude does not play around when he plays against Patrick Mahomes. 3-1 versus the Chiefs squad. And Burrow recently said, quote, I think we match up pretty well with them. I think we're built to beat them. Dave Hellman, NFL expert, talk to me. You agree with Joe Burrow that the Bengals are built to beat the Chiefs?
I want to be clear. I don't think it's a good idea to give the Kansas City Chiefs billboard material no matter who you are. Like, clear. I mean, this team runs the AFC. They run the league. So give them motivation at your own risk. But if anybody is equipped and certified
cool Joe.
To say that, yeah. it's mighty Joe Burrow. It's 3-1. He knocked him off in the AFC title game. You realize Joe Burrow is the only man, the only team who didn't have Tom Brady that's ever beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. It's Tom Brady and Joe Burrow. Mm. So, I mean, like I said, is it the smartest thing? I'm more of like a, you know, lie in the weeds and be, you know, we'll see you when we see you. We don't need to be announcing it. But if Joe Burrow wants to talk his ish, Joe Burrow can do it. Mm. He's proven it. 3-1. He's one of the only guys that has managed to beat Patrick Mahomes on multiple occasions. Mm-hmm. Only 5 teams in the NFL have done that to date. And Patrick Mahomes has been starting in the NFL for 6 years at this point. So to even be able to beat him is rare air. To do it multiple times, rarer than that. If Joe Burrow wants to talk his stuff, I say, go for it, Joe.
It's interesting, though, Dave, because you didn't answer the question. I loved your answer, but it doesn't answer the question.
What didn't I answer?
Do you agree with Joe that they're built to beat him? You just like him talking to
Pat. Yes. Realize, like, since Joe and Pat started going against each other, I think they've played 5 times when they've both been healthy. Joe's 3-1.
3-1.
The series, since they both came into the league, is 3-3 because, you know, he was hurt when they played last year. The average margin of victory in these games is 5 points. Yeah. Every time they played in the playoffs, 1-1, series tied, it's been decided by 3 points. The Bengals give as good as they get. So, yes, the data shows that the Bengals can compete with the Chiefs.
Talk about it.
And they've beaten them.
Talk about it.
Basically, nobody else in the NFL
has. I agree with you. I agree with you on everything.
You challenge me, and then you're like, yeah, no, you're right.
No, I just wanted you to answer. I agree with you wholeheartedly. The Bengals are built to beat the Chiefs. Because when you talk about what are the Bengals' strength? It's a passing game. And LeJarius Sneed ain't there no more. Bye-bye. You got Ja'Marr Chase, he talks cash. Burrow talks cash. T. Higgins, allegedly, that deal is going to get done. You added Gesicki, don't like him as a pass blocker, but as a receiver, I like his game. So the Chiefs, I won't say that their weakness at all is in the secondary, but without LeJarius Sneed, they definitely took a step back, and Ja'Marr Chase is that dude. So are you built to beat the Chiefs? You got the quarterback to do it. You got the mentality to do it. You got the coach to do it because you've done it before. Of course you're built to beat the Chiefs. And he ain't just talking because he's done it. And he's done it when it matters. Nobody in my mind can say that they're built to beat the Chiefs except Joe Burrow. Not even the Niners. And I love the Niners because before you can say you're built to beat the Chiefs, you got to beat the Chiefs. And the Bengals have.
Yeah, yeah. Finally, y'all talk with some confidence over there, man, because that's how Joe talking. Joe is whatever barbershop he go to. Is sitting up there like, I know he got some rings. He ain't messing with me, though. 3-1 versus bruh. Beat him at the crib in the playoffs. Went to the Super Bowl. He ain't messing with me. That's what JoJo saying. Like, respect to Patty. The best in the game right now. But he ain't messing with me when it comes to this head-to-head. And that being said, I believe in Joe. Joe's on the Cincinnati Bengals. So you dang right. They built to beat the Kansas City Chiefs because that's all Joe Burrow has shown us. 3-1 versus them boys. Goes on the road and beats Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City to go to the Super Bowl. You better believe it. Ja'Marr Chase is arguably the best receiver in the game. You got T. Higgins, arguably the best number 2 receiver in the game. You got Joe Burrow, one of the best quarterbacks, throwing them the football. This offense is always going to be dynamic with them 3 on the football field. This team has a chance, and they have shown it year in and year out. that we are the biggest problems for the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. So Joe Burrow, talk with confidence. Dave didn't really start off with that confidence, man.
He
No, Dave, chin up, chest out, man, and talk with the confidence.
This is the difference between professional caliber athletes and me. I'm like, why am I trying to piss Patrick Mahomes off?
We ain't playing him, Dave. We talking it because Joe said it. Joe playing it.
Yeah, but he's an LSU alum. No.
And he still ain't have his chest out.
That's as close to having my chest out as you're going to get from me.
Oh, I'm going to use a Joey different B, analogy, but what's another analogy for having your chest out? I agree that that's what Joe Burrow is saying. And not only do I agree to your points, the statistics objectively show that this is a fact. They're the only team in the league, I think, they can say this. And why wouldn't he say this? He's saying this to in front of Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce know what up. He was there. He watched it. Now, that doesn't mean this is going to happen forever, but has been what the matchups are. And they are not afraid of the Chiefs. And everybody else, well, you know, we don't like to use the words afraid or nervous or scared or any of those things, but they know how to play the Chiefs. Let's say that. We don't take all the adjectives out of it. They know how to play, and they know how to beat the Chiefs. They've done it before, a 3-1 against them. As Dave said, the only man who has done that since Patrick Mahomes started going to the Super Bowls is Tom Brady. That's good air to be in. We don't like to bring Tom Brady up a lot, but then when it matches, it matches, and that's what Joe Burrow has done. So I don't have a problem with him saying it either. Bulletin board material, the Chiefs know what's up. Chiefs know what's up, and this is the only team the Chiefs know what's up about.
Yep.
I think I'm just tired of hearing the Chiefs after they win another Super Bowl go, everybody was talking trash. Nobody believed. I'm like,
it's all right, Dave.
Come on now.
No, that's true. We definitely wrote them off this year. They had the
wrote them off the year
league.
Before that too.
But
this year
they
traded
Tyreek
Hill.
Had some questions about what they were going to look like without Tyreek Hill.
See, that's
I wouldn't
thing.
Say
all
that
you
got to
do is say one
off.
Thing and it's nobody believing
well, look,
us.
You got to find new ways to make the silk sheets feel a little rough. And sometimes you got to create a small thing and make it a bigger thing. Mm-hmm. And this year they really had like the college sheets.
Yeah.
Right? They made it work.
The target sheet.
Yeah, they made it work. The package with the whole thing and the pillowcase. That's what they were working with this year. They made it work. But when it comes to the Bengals and the Chiefs and that matchup, like it was once Burrowhead.
Yeah.
It was.
Like
it was.
For a very short amount of time. Yeah. But that like you're not even saying something like that if that's not the case. So I have no problem with
and I love it
calling
too because
Burrowhead. That's why.
I mean, hey, he got hurt. Yeah. He got hurt. It still could be Burrowhead.
And I love it too because Cincinnati Bengals, they not scared of them. You see a lot of teams don't really want no.
But hold on,
you,
James.
Dave,
hold on,
they
James. Hold on,
no
James.
Bulletin point material for
Patty last
Mahomes.
Week I put the Bengals as the third best team in the AFC and you thought I was ludicrous.
Well, because I was
ludicrous
about the Texans. I was on you about the Texans.
Okay, but I'm like, the Bengals I had is three.
I said you was disrespecting Lamar.
Yeah, we were also talking about the Ravens because you had the Ravens at four.
Yeah, he was tripping.
I don't know what to do about the AFC North, to be honest with you. You go ahead and figure that out.
But we would all say, the Ravens can't say this. Lamar couldn't say this. Lamar couldn't say this. Harbaugh and them couldn't say this. They can't.
They are literally the only
there's
team
nobody
in the
else.
League that can say this.
I don't want to hear it from the Niners.
Correct.
The Eagles
I don't want to hear it.
No. The Niners can't say this.
Wait. Say that again, Pacho. You don't want to hear it from the Niners.
I don't want to hear it from the Niners.
I said it myself. I said Niners can't say it.
Okay. Two fourth quarter leads in the Super Bowl.
There's one team in the league and one player, particularly in the league, that can say this, and it's Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals.
That's so.
Yeah, who else has beat the Chiefs?
It's
like a couple of fluke division losses. The Raiders and Chargers have kind of done it.
Adrian
and then
O'Connell?
It's the Bengals.
O'Connell can't say it?
No.
Get out of here.
All due respect to Aiden O'Connell, but no. Let me talk bad about my Raiders. Just real.
Hold on a second.
But, we're talking about
Aiden O'Connell didn't complete a pass in the second half of that game. No.
But also, it's not just that they match up well and beat them. It is where and when they have beaten the Chiefs. Like, beat them, to go to the Super Bowl, you have to have that. It's not like you got a little win during the regular season. You beat them when it mattered, where it mattered. And that's why you can say this with confidence, and that's why everybody feels this way about this matchup.
Well, speaking of winning when it has to matter, play-in tournament, it starts tomorrow. It is win or go home. But do we love or hate the concept? Are we just rewarding bad play? Because that almost seems like the case. Slick Rick, NBA expert, back joining us to discuss it. That's next on Speak. What's up, family? Had to bring in NBA expert Slick Rick DeBuca for this one. Slick, a philosophical conversation because LeBron James is once again in the play-in.
Yes.
conversation and play in game. It's really the biggest thing in sports right now. But I want to play a little sound for y'all back in May of 2021 of LeBron James. Turn your volume up and take a listen.
This happens to we end up at sixth or fifth or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired.
So, Slick, LeBron James hates it, but when I look at some of these play-in teams, I see teams that are way too good to be in the play-in. The Lakers last year went all the way to the finals. You think about the Warriors and the Kings. They've been competent the last 2-3 years of basketball. Yeah. I'm asking myself, is the play-in actually a good thing, or are you seeing a little too much sandbagging? Sandbagging is saving your energy early so that you can use your energy late in the season. Is the play-in actually hurting us? What do you think?
I'm not going to have to take issue with whatever strategy they might have to get to the postseason in their best shape. So you say sandbagging, and I say a little more intrigue and drama, because I've got these teams that, rather than having to push themselves just to make the top eight or the top six, have the opportunity to be at their best when they need to be at their best. And I'm just looking at these teams. Like, if we go just top eight, right? Well, then we're talking about no Golden State Warriors. We're talking about, don't worry about the East, but with the way things have happened with the 76ers, the fact is that I get a little bit of March Madness craziness added to the best of seven type of competition, where I know that the best teams are still going to win. So the other element is the tanking and the fact that we now have teams that, rather than once they see that they can't get to the eighth seed, well, now we've opened up the window.
Got you.
There are more teams that are competing to the end. And don't forget, it was just a couple weeks ago that we were looking at the prospect of a play-in situation in the Western Conference, where we're talking not just about the Lakers and the Warriors, but we're talking about the Suns and the Mavericks. And we were all thinking, oh, my God, how great would it be to see a play-in where you have those four teams?
You said something fascinating downstairs in preparation for the show that I want to bring up to the show and up to our viewers. You said that the Lakers weren't trying to lose and find themselves in the play-in spot.
Yeah.
But the Lakers prioritize their health above all else.
Yes.
So the fact that they are an eight seed, they're content with that because they won 47 games this year. That would have been good for fourth in the West last year. Though it's the eighth seed this year, do you think the Lakers have any regrets about, man, maybe had we played LeBron James more? Had we played Anthony Davis more? Had we gone harder during the regular season? They're only 3 games away from being in the sixth seed, 6 games away from being in the fourth seed. Do you think the Lakers miscalculated this?
Honestly, I don't, because you made the point. They won 47 games.
Yep.
Right? And where would that have put them last year?
Fourth.
Okay, so their calculation was correct. It was a different season. And the most important thing is they are coming in, assuming that Anthony Davis's back is okay. They're coming in with those guys healthy as this team has been all season. Yes, they're still missing Jared Vanderbilt, but Gabe Vincent is back. So they're in a position that they wanted to be in. And if it wasn't for the fact that the Miami Heat went all the way to the finals last year and that the Lakers went to the Western Conference finals last year, they've already demonstrated that it is possible. The play-in game, play-in tournament isn't a sentence that we're going to be one and done, or we're just, like, you can make a run out of it. So all we need to do is get in, and this expands the window to be able to get in.
Let me ask you this. The Lakers have won 6 out of 7. Final question for you. Is this the smartest route that the Lakers could have taken, because they are peaking at the right time? Their only loss in the last 7 games is when the Golden State Warriors, I think, made 24 or something like that, 3-pointers. They shot as great as they've ever shot in the history of the Golden State Warriors organization with Steph Curry present, and that is saying something. Yeah. Lakers are peaking at the right time, but their reward for their peaking might be the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did it work out? Is it working out?
Look, ideally, you'd want the sixth seed. But considering who the Lakers are and what their injury history is with LeBron James and Anthony Davis the last few years, I am going to take, no matter where I am, give me a shot. Give me a Lakers team that already has the institutional knowledge of how to get through the play-in and be a factor in the postseason. Give me that knowledge. And give me a healthy Anthony Davis and a healthy LeBron James, and I'm good to go, as well as I would be any other place.
I love it. Well, when we return, Slick, you spent a lot of time in the Bay Area, so you will be perfect for this discussion next. The Warriors are the 10th seed. They are in a win-or-go-home situation. if they miss the playoffs, who are we going to blame? I know who I'm saying. Oh, Draymond Green.
I do too.
Tennessee Warriors, they play the Kings tomorrow night in the play-in tournament. If they lose, that's it. The season with added Chris Paul and Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Steve Kerr, it comes to an end just like that. Slick Rick, very quickly, who do you blame most if the Warriors miss the playoffs?
Father Time. Mm. Pretty simple. I've got a team that the veteran group, the championship core, Steph Curry is 36, Klay Thompson is 34, Draymond Green is 34. And on the flip side, I have a young core that isn't quite there yet in terms of Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, Brandon Podziemski, and Trayce Jackson-Davis. All those guys are between 20 and 23. Now, the linchpin should have been Andrew Wiggins. He is my one player who I can say without question should be in his prime, and he's fallen off a cliff. So if you want to put it on one guy, the fact that Andrew Wiggins is not what he was when they won a championship and has gone in the wrong direction, I would say there. But for me, look, the reality is it's a team in transition. And there's nothing wrong with feeling your age one way or the other.
Okay.
Dog got your arms. Well, no, he going.
Father time. Role players on this team have always been really important. They're not the best group.
You guys got the memo?
Andrew Wiggins, drop off. So we all either were on the same call, Loki, or we all agree with the same, everything that Slick said.
Father time. Acho?
Draymond Green. It's simple. Because you said the linchpin was supposed to be Andrew Wiggins. Who else was it supposed to be?
That was it. No.
Who else was it supposed to be? Who else was it supposed to be, Slick?
I'm not giving you that.
It was supposed to be Jordan Poole. But I don't even want to talk about that, because it was. I don't even want to talk about that. What else I want to talk about is very simple. The Warriors, I believe, are 33-22, 11 games over 500, and Draymond Green is present. Either Draymond Green is valuable or he is not. He missed 27 games this year. He missed 21 games because of the suspension. Without Draymond Green, because of the suspension, they're 10-21. So you're under 500 when Draymond Green is absent. You're 11 games over 500 when Draymond Green is present. If Draymond Green is as valuable as you have been told he is by the media, by Steve Kerr, by Steph Curry, by Draymond, and by everybody at large, then his absence, inexcused absences, have to matter. I'll be very simple. We've all gone through middle school. We've all gone through high school. You got excused absences. You got inexcused absences. James Jones, if you sick, it's excused. But if you was just ha-haing and kikiing at lunch with somebody, it's inexcused. Draymond Green, you didn't miss all these games because you was hurt. You missed the games because you was punching folks. You missed the games because you was throwing bows. If you're as important as you have told me that you are, I have to blame you for the Warriors being just 6 games out of the 4th seed, 3 games out of the 6th seed. It matters. But
kind of like Slick said, though, if Kuminga show up, if Wiggins show up, if Klay ain't getting
who's
older.
Who's the Hall of Famer?
If Chris ain't
who's
getting
the Hall
older,
of Famer?
Chris going to be.
It ain't Kuminga. It ain't him. It ain't Wiggins.
Going to be a Hall
correct.
Of Famer.
No doubt about it. But I don't hold Steph to the fire for what happened this year, and I don't hold Klay to the fire.
Not Steph, but I'm just saying as a team, right? Father Time caught up to them as a team, and they young players did not step up, even though Draymond Green was acting a fool. You want to know what's crazy? He always been acting a fool.
True.
Yeah. So, again, this is the distinction. And I would make this case, and I have in terms of why he has acted out the way that he did, the why he went at Rudy Gobert the way he did, why he went at Nurkic the way that he did, is because Draymond Green is not the same player
that he
was. He has always had to play with an edge. As a guy who's 6'6", 6'7", 230 pounds, playing 7-footers who are 280 and up, right? And so he wasn't able to be as effective as a playmaker and all of those things. So what did he do to compensate? He tried to get more physical. He tried to increase the intimidation factor. I put that on age as well. He just is not the same player, and his tactics went overboard. And so, again, I hear you with Draymond. And would they have done all that if they had Draymond? I would agree. But why was Draymond acting the way that he was? Because Father Time was like...
Mm. So if I start choking people, it's just blame age.
Well,
don't blame
me.
You're not old enough yet.
A little bit of that before.
At some point, yes.
He was 22, though. When we return, Staying in the Bay Area, Brandon Ayuk, one of the top receivers in football. He's currently a Niner, but will he still be? A rumor had it that he was moving on. But then his agent, Ryan Williams, a shout out, Ryan Williams, he clarified. We'll discuss. That's next.
That's good.
Brandon Ayuk, a second-team All-Pro last season, but entering the final year of his rookie deal, and he has not received an extension. Ayuk recently unfollowed his team, the Niners, on social media, but his agent said he's not asked for a trade. Let's go to our wide receiver at the desk, James Jones. Should the Niners consider moving on from Ayuk?
Absolutely not. No, they got to keep Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk is their best receiver on the football team. I understand Deebo Samuels is a playmaker, but when you talk about best receiver on the football team, it's him. Everything he does and everything he is perfect for Brock Purdy. Releases at the line of scrimmage. Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb. Those are probably the dudes that do it the best. Instant separation. And number two, to be honest with you, they are not in the Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk. If he does not make that play, that catch, where it's 3rd and 9 against the Green Bay Packers off the shoelaces as he's running a shallow cross, is an extremely hard catch. We just seen the one that he made in Detroit. If he don't make them two catches, the Niners possibly ain't in the Super Bowl. But what he does for Brock Purdy with his route running and creating separation immediately helps any quarterback. Beyond being young, helps any quarterback. That's why you've seen Devontae Adams go to work with 12 for so long. When you're able to run routes like that, number one, your play caller can call anything he wants and design any crazy plays he wants for you. So they cannot let Brandon Ayuk out of there.
No, I agree with everything he's saying. They should not let him go. But also, Ayuk doesn't have, like, a whole ton of leverage outside of holding out. So it will likely get worked out. You need a number one receiver, obviously. Brock Purdy is a very talented player. He is more talented with talented players around him. This guy is a big part of that offense. You can't let him go.
I mean, James was speaking the gospel over there, man. Like, how many, like, when we talk about the Niners, what do we talk about? We talk about the in-breaking routes, like, oh, Brock Purdy's not afraid to rip it over the middle of the field. Who's doing that? It's this guy. It's Brandon Ayuk. And on top of that, I know this isn't why receivers get paid. I get it. Okay, so don't yell at me. But go watch.
Be blocking.
Go watch him block.
I hate you so much.
Go watch him
I
block.
I hate you so. He do be blocking.
Christian McCaffrey? You think blocking. Christian McCaffrey dies
him? He do be get blocking. But Jennings be blocking, too. You think I should pay him?
Oh, but he don't run around.
He don't run around, too. When we return,
while
we
are watching the show, I know he said he did not just pick a pair of me to break.
When we return, the WNBA draft is literally minutes away. Man. An exciting class. That's next. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese headlined one of the most anticipated WNBA drafts ever. Caitlin Clark, of course, projected to go number one overall to the Indiana Fever, while Angel is projected to go in the top 10 as well. Joy, how big of an impact will Clark and Angel Reese have on the WNBA amongst the other superstars that are joining the league?
Yeah, I think this is one of the most influential WNBA drafts that we've seen in a long time. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. But you've got Cameron Brink, Camila Cardoso. You've got a lot of big names. Aaliyah Edwards. It's going to be a really, really exciting night for the WNBA, and I can't wait to see what the two of them do. Playing women, against each other.
Them women fly up there, too.
You got to get fitted for draft night.
They came with it. They
you
got to
get fitted for draft night.
Let me know where I get my Angel t-shirt from.
Where you getting your jersey?
That is it for us, family.